So as we continue on in our series, we're just going to truck on along through. We've been looking at some of the stories of the Old Testament and what it means to trust God farther than we can see God. And this week, we're going to focus on the story of Joshua and what it means to trust God farther than you can see God when you feel like a grasshopper facing giants. And so hear now the word of God from Joshua 1:1-9. You can read it on the back of your program if you would like, or you can just listen. After Moses, the Lord's servant, died, the Lord spoke to Joshua, Nun's son. He had been Moses' helper. "My servant Moses is dead. Now get ready to cross over the Jordan with this entire people to the land that I'm going to give to the Israelites. I'm giving you every place where you set foot, exactly as I promised. Your territory will stretch from the desert and the Lebanon as far as the great Euphrates River, including all Hittite land, up to the Mediterranean Sea on the west. No one will be able to stand up against you during your lifetime. I will be with you in the same way I was with Moses. I won't desert you or leave you. Be brave and strong, because you are the one who helped this people take possession of the land, which I pledged to give their ancestors. Be very brave and strong as you carefully obey all of the instructions that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Don't deviate even a bit from it, either to the right or left. Then you will have success wherever you go. Never stop speaking about this instruction scroll. Recite it day and night so you can carefully obey everything written in it. Then you will accomplish your objectives and you will succeed. I commanded you to be brave and strong, haven't I? Don't be alarmed or terrified, because the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." The word of God for us, the people of God, and God's people say, thanks be to God. Let's pray. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, so that as the scripture has been read and your word is now proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you have to say to us today. Amen. Irina Sendler. Does anyone have any idea about who I'm talking about? Irina Sendler. She was someone who lived in Poland when the Nazis invaded and rounded up all the Jews into a walled ghetto. And Sendler sensed what she thought was going to happen, which was the Holocaust. She was a social worker and a nurse. And so she would sneak food and medicine into the ghetto. What she snuck out was even more important. It's estimated that Sendler and her group helped approximately 2,500 children get out of the ghetto, sedated and placed in the bottom of toolboxes or lying in burlap sacks at the bottom of her truck. She sent them through a network of like-minded Christian orphanages where they were given new identities. And she kept their real names hidden in jars that she buried in her backyard. Now, she was eventually caught by the Nazis, imprisoned and tortured, but she did survive. And when the war ended, she devoted herself to reuniting these children with their families. The only hard part was that turned out to be a very hard thing to do, and in many cases wasn't possible. Now, this was just one of literally dozens of stories that popped up in my Google search when I typed in stories about courageous people. There were stories about World War II heroes, the Underground Railroad, the liberation heroes like Romero and his work in El Salvador. And as I looked at those scriptures, I was reminded of many of the same kinds of stories that we see throughout scripture. Of course, we just focused on Moses last week and his leading the people of Israel out of slavery. And then obviously we're focusing on Joshua tonight as he leads those same people out of the wilderness. But then you can think about characters like David, which we're going to look at in another week or so, who stood up to Goliath, which is not what we're focusing on, but that's a part of his story. And then there's Mordecai and there's Esther, who saved the Jews from being completely annihilated in Babylon. And in each of these stories, there was a common theme. Heroes stand up against giants, sometimes literally, sometimes figuratively, in order to accomplish the mission that God has set out for them. Now, in Joshua's case, he was following the footsteps of Moses, who had led Israel out of Exodus and was supposed to lead them into the promised land. The only thing was, is that 2 years after they got into the desert, Moses decided to send a team of all the leaders from the different tribes over to Canaan to scope it out. And so these team of spies went over and they did just that, and they came back with a report. And when they came back with that report, they first said, yes, this land is flowing with milk and honey, which means basically it's very fruitful. It's a beautiful land. Lots of things are happening. It's a great place to do agriculture and to thrive. But the people there are strong. Their towns are fortified. And there are literally giants, huge human beings living in this land. Now, Caleb, which was from the tribe of Judah, was the only one who encouraged Israel to go anyway. Let's go. God says, go, let's go do it. But unfortunately, the majority vote won out with the argument that, well, we were kind of like grasshoppers next to these giants. That was the argument that kept Israel in the wilderness for 4 decades. And they wandered because they refused to trust God farther than they could see God. Never mind that God had literally rescued them from slavery, parted the Red Sea, fed them with manna and quail, brought water out of rocks, but they weren't willing to go into Canaan. So it was only after that entire generation had passed, including Moses, that God could then move the people out of the wilderness. And the new generation was willing to go, even though they had heard all their lives, we are like grasshoppers next to the giants. They weren't afraid because they knew who was going with them. They didn't have supernatural courage, which is something we often are tempted to think. God gave them something different than God will give me. Those things happened in the past because God was able to show his power in ways that God doesn't do anymore. It's just not true. They were ordinary human beings, but they knew the one who was leading them was anything but ordinary. The one who was leading them was the one that for their entire lives had fed them with the manna and the quail and water from rocks. And they had learned to trust God farther than they could see or understand God. So when God said go, they were willing to go, knowing that I am was going with them. And what that meant was no matter how small they were, they knew I am was going to make every giant over there look like a grasshopper. And so when I read stories like this one and see the courage that Joshua had, the courage to take on a cause bigger than himself and lead this entire group of people on a passage towards freedom and wholeness that had been promised to them, and I read stories like Irina Sendler or Bonhoeffer or Romero, or Harriet Tubman, which were just some of the ones that I read. It reminds me of some modern day heroes that I think we have among us, and we have many of them, so forgive me for only highlighting one, but the one that came to mind as I was reading this story of Joshua and just reading through Sendler was our UMW and the women who are rallying around the advocacy against human trafficking. and their work with our local agencies that is helping real people in our community break free from the chains of modern-day slavery. And their fight is an enormous one right now. They are like grasshoppers facing giants. Statisticians right now say that there are more slaves throughout the world than there have ever been throughout human history. So much for our civilized world, right? I mean, there are more people invested in keeping these people slaves than ever before in human history. And so when I think about that, and I think about these women and the leaders that they are working with, willing to stand up against these giants, when it could cost them relationships, when it could cost them business opportunities, they're doing it anyway. And so what is it that causes people to stand up for something that they feel God is championing them around and to go ahead and take that step of faith? Well, I believe as I look at the stories in the Bible and I look at our UMW women, there might be a lot of different reasons, but the one commonality I see among it is this commitment, a real commitment to faith that expresses itself in action. And we see that in Joshua's leadership for Israel as he takes his faith in God, in Yahweh, in I Am, and rallies the people around that faith. And together, they end up following God's instructions, which were specifically to be very brave and strong as you carefully obey all of the instruction that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Don't deviate it even a bit. Don't go right, don't go left, and you will have success wherever you go. Then he repeats it. Never stop speaking about this instruction scroll. Recite it day and night so you can carefully obey everything written in it. Then you will accomplish your objectives and you will succeed. Anytime there is repetition in something, it gets my attention because God doesn't repeat God's self unless God wants us to pay attention. Three times in our text, he told Joshua to be brave and courageous. And twice he tells him to keep following the instructions, recite it day and night. Read the scriptures day and night. Gather with other people and read the scriptures. And I think that there is a reason God gave them that instruction. Because when we do, every time we gather or read scripture on our own, every time we center ourselves on God's word, we are reminded of all that God has done, of all that God is, so that when we are like the grasshoppers facing the giants, we will know, not just in our head, but know in the very fibers of our being that the one who goes before us is the one who created us, who saved Israel from slavery, who came to redeem us in Christ Jesus. We never go alone. It is a theme that reverberates throughout Scripture. We are told over and over again, do not be afraid. Well, we are told over and over again, no matter what we are called to do, we will never do it without God going with us. And that, I believe, is what helps our UMW women press onward because they're so rooted in God's word and this commitment to do something about the human trafficking situation is a burden God has placed on their hearts. And they know that they do not face this giant alone. The same can be true and said for each of us. But I would be lying to you if I stood here and told you I'm really, really good at this, because I'm not. I do think I've grown some, especially in my ministry here. And I would say that the thing that came to mind as I thought about my own journey was, if some of you remember back when Richard Spencer, the white supremacist, was going to come to town 2 years ago. He did come to town. And just months before that, he had been in Charlottesville and incited that deadly riot that happened. And so when we got news that he was going to be coming and speaking at UF in hopes of doing the exact same thing, I mean, there was a palpable anxiety going on throughout all of Gainesville. You could feel it, and it was talked about over and over again. And I was with a group of other faith leaders, including my husband and our two senior pastors, and we talked about making a statement on the steps of City Hall that claimed that Gainesville is a place where diversity should be celebrated and the sacred worth of every human being upheld. Now, looking back at that event, most of the city leaders believe that it was the collective effort of the entire city, not just that one thing, but the whole city pulling together to stand around that claim. We celebrate diversity, and we believe everyone has sacred worth. We believe that that is what made it mostly a non-event when he did arrive. It was totally unsuccessful for what he was hoping to accomplish. But leading up to that, that day that we were going to gather on those steps, I clearly, vividly remember what that felt like, because I was not feeling brave at all. And if it hadn't been for my other clergy members that I was gathering with and surrounding us all with this idea, we are going to cling to our faith and we are going to trust that this God we proclaim week after week after week is going to be with us, and that this God that we proclaim is all powerful can do something about this. And yet, as we gathered there before we walked across, we were at the church just across the street, and we were praying for protection, and we were praying for there to be peace, because we had been warned ahead of time, because they didn't know what we should expect, that there could be a violent outbreak. We don't know, but you just need to be prepared for that if you want to make this statement. We decided to make it anyway, and so we were praying for our protection. And I remember specifically praying, Lord, both of my kids' parents are here. If there is violence, make sure one of us gets home. Now, that sounds really dramatic looking back on a non-event that we look back and go, nothing really happened. But we didn't know that in the moment. And there is no way I would have been able to do that and make the statement with that group that we did that day had it not been knowing that God was with us. And having not rooted myself in a community of faith where we come back to Scripture over and over again every week and remind ourselves that we have a God who is for us and who is with us. And a God who is still on the same mission God started when God created Israel. God created Israel in order to be a blessing, be blessed, to be a blessing to the rest of the nations. And God has not stopped that mission. God fulfilled that mission in Christ coming. That's the blessing to all the nations. But God's people still have a mission to accomplish. As we look at our world today, and I've talked about this the last couple weeks, but I can't help but feel like our world needs more Joshuas. We need more leaders who can not only discern where God is leading, but have the courage and the faith to leave behind the thoughts and the fears that we are only grasshoppers in the face of giants, and to go and lead God's people. And we need more people who will follow that leadership, more people who are so rooted in God's story that they know their place in God's story. And they are willing to go and do what is necessary to pave a way for others to experience the freedom and redemption that God still wants for the entire world. You know, we have an advantage over Israel. That generation did have at least the advantage of having to totally rely on God for their sustenance. Yes, they had that, and we don't have that. We buy our food in the grocery stores. But we have the New Testament. They had the scrolls that Moses wrote. Five books, friends. That's what they had to work from. Anybody remember? If you go to our preschool class, you might remember how many books are in the entire breadth of the Old and New Testaments. 66 books in the Bible. Our preschool students learn that every single week. We've got 66 books, letters, poems, scripture that we can read to wrap our lives around. And when we feel most like the grasshopper facing the giants, we have the best story of all. We have the good news of the New Testament. If we need proof that God can overcome the giants, we have Christ crucified and risen. And when we read that story, it's not always an easy one, because when we read about Jesus facing the battle, facing the giants of his day as the grasshopper, we know that he was crucified and he died. And there are some battles that we are going to fight that we might not win. We might even end up losing our life. We certainly know people have behind us in order to champion a cause that they felt God had placed on their heart. Yet, even when the battle is lost, we know that the war has already been won. The ultimate victory has already been claimed in Christ's resurrection. And when we get to the end of the book, the end, all is made new and right in Christ. And there are no more tears, and there is no more suffering, and there is no more pain. That's what we press on towards. That's what we cling to when we've got nothing else to cling to. And that's what can fuel us to take those steps of faith. For Israel, their step of faith that came just after our reading tonight was following Joshua across the Jordan River, leaving behind the desert, which of course is the desert. It's the wilderness. We get that, but it's all they had ever known. They left it behind to go through the Jordan, and the Jordan didn't part until they got there and were willing to go. But then, as they took that step forward, Joshua raised his hand and the Jordan split and they walked across on dry land. So what could have been a treacherous trip across this river wasn't. And then God was faithful to build a mighty and wonderful nation for them, fulfilling God's promises. I don't know what's going on in your personal life, what giants you might be facing as a grasshopper on an individual basis. And I don't know exactly what burdens God has placed on your heart for the sake of the redemption of the world. But I do know that the mission is not over, and that we are gathered here as God's people, and that the best thing that we can do is respond to God's promptings, respond to God's grace, and to rally around one another and be God's people that champion each other onward so that we can stand on the steps of City Hall when we don't know on the other side it's going to end up being a non-event. And praise God that it was. Or face things like Dr. Martin Luther King did that may not look like it ended well. Oh, but the story is not over. God is still at work, and the things that he started are still having an impact on our society. I don't know what cause God's placed on your heart, but I know our world is still pressing onward till Christ returns, and that we are Christ's hands and feet, and the mission cannot be fulfilled without each and every one of us doing our part. My friends, we might be grasshoppers. And we don't even have to be good at being grasshoppers. We just need to gather with other faithful grasshoppers, because it's not us that wins the battle or the war. It is God. And any giant we face is nothing less than a grasshopper in the presence of I Am. Let's be brave. Let's be courageous. Let's root ourselves in the scriptures so wrapped in God's word that we know our story and we know how it ends. And we are willing to take whatever steps we need to take in faith to cross through our Jordan and press onward to the promised land. Let's pray. God, we are a grateful people. Grateful that you are God and that we are not. And yet you call us to partner with you on your mission to save and redeem this world. Where we feel like grasshoppers, Lord, remind us that you are bigger than any challenge we will ever face. And that in you is the ultimate triumph. In you, the power of the resurrection has no limits. In you, not even death can separate us from your love or the love of others. Lord, we thank you that you do have a call for each and every one of us. Help us to live into that call. Help us surround one another with words of encouragement and strength, because we are not called to journey alone, but with you and with one another. And as we step out in faith, Lord, continue to illuminate our way so that we may live into our created purpose and bring glory to you until we meet you again face to face. We look forward to that day, Lord, but don't let it come too soon. Let us use every breath that we have to be a praise offering. In Jesus' name, amen.